It literally opens with us doing an impersonation.
And it's going to do it again.
It's going to happen again.
It's happening right now.
Right now.
Right now, we're talking about Temuera Morrison's Book of Boba Fett, Chapter 3 and 4.
Oh, man.
We're back.
So exciting.
So exciting. That's the money.
Yeah, for anybody... For anybody who's not aware, we're a little bit of a mess when it comes to recording, so today's episode is actually being recorded on the day that episode 5 is coming out.
I've watched it.
Yeah, he's already seen it, I have not, so I'm going to keep my speculation kind of minimal today as to not evoke expressions
or anything. I'm going to tell you right now, dude, no matter what you speculate, you're not going to guess what happens in this episode. It's nuts. You're going to go home and watch it and be like, bruh. It's not
got,
even.
I've got some speculatory.
I gave you tiny spoilers.
You did, and it's enough for me to speculate.
Oh no!
can we see Mandalore in live action? An image, right? All right, let's jump into.
Wait,
you got to read the intro to the actual show.
Hello there, and welcome back to the Farthest Galaxy.
Okay,
Star Wars podcast. I'm your local scruffy-looking nerf herder Hunter, and as always, I'm joined by Jedi Master Alex.
And I'm a Bentha.
Oh, look, Bentha. This week we're talking about Book of Boba Fett chapters 3 and 4. Power Rangers. But before we get to that, we got news to talk about. We got a decent amount of news. We're kind of catching up on news again.
This is caught up, man. This is all current.
Well, I think the fake trailer came out a couple weeks ago.
It was like a week and a half ago because we didn't record an episode last week, which is when we would have talked.
We would have talked about Mandalorian.
And it would have been new. Yes, we. I'm pretty sure at the end of last episode, I was like, next episode is going to be Mando Season 1. And then we just didn't...
Well, because we didn't have time.
And here we are.
Hey, man.
Maybe it'll be next episode. Who knows?
Well, we got to... I mean, maybe.
I mean...
Chapters 1 and 2.
It's Saturday morning. I have a vet appointment. So if you're free after that...
I'm probably free until 5. So
okay. We'll make it happen because it's a 10 a.m. appointment.
All right. So an image has been circulating online, advertising magazine promoting Bad Batch Season 2 coming this spring. I think I saw that. It makes sense, though.
I can't tell you what magazine or where I even found this. I just saw the image and I was like, oh, Bad Batch.
Well, there's going to be a break. I think it was on Twitter. There's going to be a break in content after... So Book of Boba Fett starts and then there's we have 3 episodes... And then there's a 2-week break, and then Moon Knight starts on the 31st of March.
Okay.
Because Book of Boba goes into the second week of February, the 9th.
When is the Multiverse of Madness coming out?
March early.
Okay.
March 23rd, a week before Moon Knight.
Because we ought to have another Marvel show. I know Miss Marvel is supposed to be coming out this year.
Yeah, but Moon Knight's the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be Doctor Strange, and it's going to be Moon Knight. And then after that, there's supposed to be a break in between for Kenobi. But we only know Kenobi might be coming in May.
Yet.
So April might launch after Moon Knight's done. Because Moon Knight's only going to be 6 episodes.
I think we're probably going to get our Kenobi. It's funny, we said this last year, probably around the same time. I think we're getting our Kenobi trailer on May 4th.
That makes sense.
I feel like any other day just doesn't make sense.
They should also drop Bad Batch on May 4th again like they did last time. Just here's an episode.
That'd be cool. I would love it.
Makes sense.
I'd love coming back to it.
Because like I said, we're running out of the content. Disney Plus has just got Moon Knight. And then after that, it's... speculation. And then whatever Disney shows they do.
Yes.
When's Monsters at Work 2 coming?
So yeah, I'm gonna watch that.
It's pretty good. This makes sense, Bad Batch Season 2 coming soon, because they don't want to waste too much time in between, because it's one of the animated shows.
It could even be the end of spring.
Yeah.
I mean, who's really
It'll
knows?
Probably be this, I want to say it's, no, this, Kenobi will be the summer show, for sure.
May 4th is probably going to give us a lot of good trailers.
Well, we'll probably get one of these games, which we'll talk about later. One of these games has to get announced.
Yeah.
We'll probably get DLC for the other game that we're going to talk about, because that comes out in April. So we'll probably get one of the packs that drops, maybe the Bad Batch pack.
I'm still under the
impression. Or announcement that the Kenobi pack
I'm still thinking
coming.
It's all coming out in a wave. It's just going to be here's it all.
Well, they announced everything. It's not like they haven't used these other characters in LEGO games before.
Plus, they're LEGO characters.
How hard are they?
You don't have to do a lot.
you just have to put them in with the new system.
Yeah. Right? And make them work.
But we'll get to that. Next up, the fake Knights of Ren trailer. I was excited, honestly, when I saw the trailer. I knew it was fake.
Yeah.
But I was like, this could be cool.
It's so obviously fake.
It's very fake.
If you watch literally any trailer for any project they've put out in years, it is nothing like that. Well, they literally went for every money shot with this trailer. They're like, we got a Sith Lord standing on top, or I guess a Knight of Ren,
but
standing on top of a
TIE fighter.
It was
supposed to be the
Ren,
but I'm like, that's not what he looks
like. That's not what he looks like.
So
he's got a special mask.
Right when I saw, and also he doesn't wear a shirt.
He doesn't wear a shirt.
I was like, right when I saw that, I was like, fake. But then I saw the other guys, and I was like, this would be cool, though. Because we didn't get enough of them in the sequel trilogy, and they had so much potential. So I would like to see, one season, maybe two, max two.
The Ren.
In between... Kylo Ren learning to be bad guy. Yeah. Where we see him now when he's leading the charge.
I would like to see a Knights of Ren thing.
Because we can have a young Kylo. Cast fucking Finn Wolfhard.
Even the only one in the Knights of Ren that had a lightsaber, aside from Kylo, was the Ren.
And he killed him.
Yeah, and he's dead. So. He gets him. You know, I could buy it's like, oh, yeah, this is an older thing. Maybe it's during the time of the Old Republic. But also, during the time of the Old Republic, there was no TIE fighters.
No.
He's literally on top of a TIE fighter.
This trailer, yeah, no.
I'm like, this can't be.
No. I'm talking about it now. I'm spinning out to a Knights of Ren show in general.
So anybody who saw this Knights of Ren trailer, and if you don't know what we're talking about, just look up Knights of Ren trailer 2022. You'll find it really easily. Sorry to burst your bubble if you did think this was real and still thought it was real up until this moment, but it's not.
No, big sad, but I would love it.
Dude, if this turns out to be real, I'll eat my own lunch.
You'll eat your lunch?
I'll eat my lunch.
But if it's not real, I'll eat your lunch.
I feel like I lose in both situations. Fine. Tell you what, it's on.
If they don't make the show, I'll eat your lunch for you. Don't worry.
All right, cool. Gonna have to go somewhere I don't like. Yeah, so fan-made trailer. Next one, we just put this in here. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Ewan McGregor's wife and baby mama. She got cast in Ahsoka.
Wonder why? Well, it's because she's probably attached to all this stuff.
Maybe.
Because of Ewan.
Yeah, because you know, you can't marry and have a child with Obi-Wan Kenobi and not have a conversation come up where he's like, yeah, you should be in Star Wars.
You know what the movie they were also in together? Birds of Prey.
Yep.
That's where they met.
That movie's crazy, dude.
That's where they met.
I loved him in that movie. He's good. So good.
I know he dies, but they could easily retcon him to come back.
Spoilers. How are we going to tie this into Kenobi if he dies?
Black Mask? You can't tie that into Kenobi.
Watch me.
We could. It's a prequel. When he dies, his Force ghost transfers into the space.
Well, you don't know this.
Well, it's a galaxy far, far away.
Everything is connected to Star Wars.
Maybe it's reincarnation. So, yeah, who do you think she's going to be? I'm thinking live-action Hera, but I feel like they'd probably try to get somebody who's not white for that role.
I don't think that they would, because they put Hera in Squadrons, and she has a more live-action look now.
Mm.
And if you look at her in that, she looks nothing like Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah.
I think if they're going to ever cast a live-action Hera, they're probably going to use the mocap person that did her in the game, or they're going to go for somebody who looks exactly like her. And I agree with you, they'd probably cast a black woman to do it. That would probably make the most sense.
It's big, yeah, because I mean, we have Jessica Biel in the new stuff, and she, or Jennifer Beals, I forget. Is it Jessica Biel or Jennifer Beals? Beals. She is, to my knowledge, a white lady.
She is
doing the Twi'lek in Book of Boba Fett.
I mean,
so it doesn't need
I just feel like the doesn't... way that she looked in Squadrons, she has more features of a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
It might even be the case. I'm going to feel like an asshole if they're
like the whitest person.
It was a white woman that mocapped her. I'm actually going to look it up for posterity's sake. But yeah, I think it would be a woman of color.
I think it's
going to
be a woman of color for sure.
Yeah.
That makes me think she could be the bad guy. She's not a high enough... like ticket item to be a bad guy, but she could be a growing bad guy, like a sidekick, almost like a leftover inquisitor. She could be. So was a white chick.
Oh my god!
It's probably the voice actress from the show.
It is.
Yikes! Got him.
I don't know. It doesn't look like her voice actress though.
No, because they probably mocapped it differently.
They probably just changed things about... I don't know. Do whatever you want, Star Wars. Just don't make her suck. How about that?
Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I think she's either going to be a bounty hunter...
I just don't see her playing Hera. I feel like she's got to be somebody else.
Yeah, I was just only adding that speculation because the Sabine casting, and also, why not? Because I'd love to see Chopper in live action. I think he's briefly shown in something, but whatever. It doesn't count.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't see a white woman under that.
No, that's definitely not a white woman.
Right? Seeing what I'm seeing.
The Squadrons takes place before Ahsoka, so she'd be older.
I mean, even, this is like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah.
For anybody who's wondering what we're looking at, it's like the first three or four images on Google Images. Just type in Hera Squadrons.
It's definitely a POC.
And you'll see what I'm seeing.
Definitely POC.
Yeah, I don't think it's a white lady under there.
I mean, it'd be great if they did cast the original voice actress.
I like the voice actress's work. I just don't know if she would translate
it's
well.
It's like when they didn't cast into this, Ashley Eckstein as Ahsoka. They did Rosario Dawson. It's because Ashley Eckstein does not look like Ahsoka.
Well, for years, everyone was saying if they were going to do a live-action Ahsoka, it would have to be a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
I never once thought it would be a white person.
I only thought it would be the voice actress, no one else.
Yeah. I thought if they were going to do that, but I was like, realistically, they'll probably just shift away.
Yeah, and Rosario Dawson's a choice.
She did a really good job of it. She did amazing. Aside from like who she is as far as being an actress and the way she looks, she pulled it together great.
Yeah, I'm just excited to see what Elizabeth Winstead's going to be playing, because she's great in Cloverfield and in Birds of Prey and Ramona Flowers from Scott Pilgrim. So I'm interested in what she's going to do. I can't say who she's going to be.
Yeah, definitely not going for Hera.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she's an Inquisitor or a Bounty Hunter. Just because Inquisitors are always good villains to fight because they're good versus bad.
Yeah, who really knows, you know?
But with Ahsoka's show, she's hunting down Thrawn and looking for Ezra.
Realistically, she could be like a Danny Trejo and just be like, Rancor Keeper. Yo, she's in Star Wars, right? It's and awesome. Then we see her and she's just like a, I'm here.
You know, like Amy Sedaris. She's and then like, just kind of vibing in a couple like, episodes.
There she is! And then she's gone.
Amy Sedaris is scary.
You know, it's really just because of how famous she is that this rumor is being so blown out of proportion that people are expecting her to play somebody of importance. But, I mean, Danny Trejo is a big actor, as far as I'm concerned, anyway.
Yeah.
And he's the Rancor Keeper.
Well, Kumail Nanjiani's probably going to be like an alien.
Let's not talk about Kumail Nanjiani, because he was in Eternals, and they totally shafted him in that. He's like the best character in the movie, and he leaves, before it kicks off at the end. He's the best character, come on! I want a Kingo movie.
Kingo Disney Plus show.
Dude, that'd be sick. It's all about him making his Eternals movies.
No, that'd be great.
Wouldn't it be? Wouldn't it be just like
documentary style?
Could honestly be the best Disney Plus show, but I'm gonna save some judgment.
It could be shot like The Office, but with Kingo and Karan as the main characters.
Dude, it'd be just so good. Like... It'd be so good. I'm just saying.
That would be good.
Dude, if Eternals was the Kingo show, it would have been better.
If Eternals was just called Kingo.
All right.
What does HFS mean?
Holy fucking shit.
Okay. I wanted to make sure. I was like, what?
Because
like,
that was the only way I could even think to summarize my thoughts when I first saw this.
Gameplay.
Lego Skywalker Saga. We got another trailer this week with a release date. It's coming out April 5th, 2022. It's got skill trees included. Looks like it's going to be a really expansive, semi-open world.
Dude, there's like 15 planets you can go to that'll each have their own little hubs.
I think there's more than 15.
Well, 15 is just what I saw real
There's
quick.
A ton of planets, dude. Like, the map is huge.
Basically, everything we've
map.
Seen in the movies and TV shows will be able to visit.
I mean, the galaxy available. Map looks like it's spanning the core to the Outer Rim, so there's a lot of planets there to play with. Yeah. I don't want to go too into detail on it because we're probably going to do an episode on it.
Oh, for sure.
We know that there's going to be character packs. There's going to be a Mandalorian Season 1 pack, a Mandalorian Season 2 pack, a Rogue One pack, a Classic Characters pack, which is going to have the 1999 Han, Luke, Leia, Lando, and
Vader.
The
yellow ones.
Yeah, the yellow ones with the samey hairdos and the older guys that some of us more classic collectors might remember. There's going to be a solo pack, and there's going to be a Bad Batch pack, and a Trooper pack that's just going to be like Shore Trooper, yeah, Death Trooper.
Yeah, the Trooper pack kind of a Ben Kenobi classic or day one drops.
Yeah.
I think the
Ben Kenobi's a digital pre-order. He'll probably be available for digital purchase if you didn't get him as a pre-order.
He'll probably be like $1 or $2.
I don't see them making one Lego minifigure character exclusive
to pre-order
and never being able to get him again. It doesn't do anything for the game, you know. Dumb. So I fully expect to see him in the store for like 99 cents or
he
something on day one.
It better be.
Yeah. So, like a Star Wars, you know, it's coming out, and
we've been
the trailer looks
it.
Amazing. I mean, Hunter and I were talking about it the day before the trailer came out.
We're like,
out.
When are we gonna get this?
Yeah, we were
we
like,
don't
they
even
need
know
to
what's
drop
going
this
on.
Like now.
And then they dropped the trailer and the release date, which is April 5th.
April 5th.
Yeah, man.
So everyone who's excited, get even more excited.
Get excited.
Finally, bit of news from like this morning.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago or
Either
something.
Way.
Yeah, EA has 3 new Star Wars games in development, including
besides the ones we know of, the 5 we know of.
It's an FPS game that we don't know what it is.
It's done by the Titanfall guys. Respawn.
It's being done by Respawn. So
Respawn's doing
if
too.
It's anything like Titanfall. Oh my god,
we're
in for a treat.
Imagine troopers running on fucking walls and hopping into TIE fighters.
If it's like Titanfall, we're in for a treat. If it's like Apex,
We're in for not bad, just not a treat.
I like Apex, I just haven't been playing Apex. I should preface this for anybody who doesn't know. I played Apex like hardcore for the first year it came out, and I haven't, as far as now, played Apex in like 4 or 5 months.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's
you're like in forever.
It's been like a
Well, I get it. Sometimes you just get caught up in other things and you can't get back to it.
Mm-hmm. We're getting another game in the Jedi franchise. It's funny the way they said it. They didn't say Fallen Order 2.
They said
we're getting a sequel in the Jedi franchise. Yeah. I have a theory that we might not be following Cal, but we'll see.
I'd be kind of pissed, though.
And it also wouldn't make sense because the end of the first game sets up for a sequel for his story.
Yeah, unless he's just in the game similar to Seer.
Yeah, and but that would be I would personally lame. Like that. Really? I think it would be cool if they made a create-your-own-character story. But then again, like we have Souls? KOTOR remake coming out, and that's kind of what that is. Spoiler for those of you who don't know, I guess. You know, it's like... That story's already been told, though, so that's like a, I think it would be interesting if they gave us a Jedi and it was a new story that lets us pick. But also Quantic Dream, there's a lot of games coming out that's fed. Like...
We have Lego Star Wars. We're eating good, dude. We have Lego Star Wars, we have Hunters coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Ubisoft...
Hunters is out already, I think.
It's open beta, closed beta, I think.
People be playing.
It's not out available to a wider audience.
I don't want
to
play it.
I'm going to play it for sure.
I just want to play the Jawas stacked on top of
Exactly. I want to play Jawas, I want to play Trooper. We have those two this year. And then whatever they stealth drop or announce during Star Wars Day and then release later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
We have Eclipse. Yeah. We have the Ubisoft open world game. And then we have the other two games that got announced. The other three games that got announced. We have seven Star Wars games in the next 2 years.
That's kind of why I'm thinking it probably won't be a create your own and do your own adventure
on the
thing.
Eight, if you count.
There's a lot of games coming out that are seeming to be like that right now. So we'll see. And the third game that's rumored to be coming around is an XCOM-style game, or we think it's an XCOM-style game, because it's being developed by Bitreactor, which is a recently formed studio composed of Firaxis Games veterans, and Firaxis Games made the XCOM games.
Yeah.
So if it's a tactical strategy, it could be cool.
It could be another Republic Commandos, because they just revitalized, they ported it over to PS5 and PS4, so...
Hey man, in Star Wars RTS, you know, I'm into it. I recently started playing SWTOR. The MMO, I'm loving that. So these more kind of varied experiences, I think I'm looking forward to them.
Just don't
do something like Squadrons again where nothing happens.
Well, it's because we had like no Star Wars games for a long time besides Lego. And then we got Battlefront 1, and that was okay. And then we got Battlefront 2, and that was fine. And then we got Squadrons, and that was okay. We haven't had a great Star Wars game in a long time besides the updates for
Old Republic. I don't know who's doing them. I forgot, but I watched... it's like the history of Star Wars games. And you can see when Disney purchases it, it becomes like...
Disney Infinity.
PC games, mobile games, gimmicky games, bad Lego games that are like Star Wars Christmas Legos for your phone, you know? And then Battlefront 2015 came out, and it's like the trend shifted entirely from that point. And they were like, we're going to make real games now. And that's... for the better. I mean, we're happy, obviously.
Well, it's because when Disney acquired it, they were like, we need to pump out as much nonsense for kids.
Yeah, they're trying to aim it at the kids and families. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, they're like, can we sell a game where Jedi are killing each other?
Dude, it's what they did with Marvel. Marvel originally had like all their games licensed out. Like, we'd get Ultimate Alliance, we'd get Marvel vs. Capcom, we would get like PC games like Marvel Heroes. And then when Disney bought them, they only did Disney Infinity for Marvel and Star Wars.
Mm.
And then once they realized that they weren't making money that way off the video game franchises, they said, all right, you can start licensing our games now. That's when we got Battlefront. That's when we got Fallen Order. That's when we got Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Was not that good, but still. We got Midnight Suns. We got Wolverine. We got Spider-Man. We got fucking Spider-Man 2.
Remember when Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite came, like, got announced? And we were all like, yeah! And then we saw the trailer for it, and we were like, what the fuck?
What happened? What did they wanted you to do? Make it like the MCU.
Why'd you make everybody so ugly?
It was the MCU with Wolverine and Spider-Man.
What'd you do to Chun-Li?
Oh, man. So, you know, once Disney realized that licensing out your games to studios, yes, you can't make them in-house, so you're not saving as much money, but you'll get more money in the end, like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That made them so much money. Yeah, Avengers, as much as we have gripes with it, I love it. And
it kills me. I see people on Twitter, they're like, stop hating on this game because you don't like it. I'm like, stop liking this game because it's not good.
We got Guardians. We got Midnight Suns coming up. We have Spider-Man 2 and Wolverine.
Did you start Guardians yet?
No, I'm just lazy. I've got so many other games to play, bro.
No, I can feel it. I appreciate it.
And I keep playing the Yu-Gi-Oh game because I'm 4.
And I need to play Yu-Gi-Oh every day.
They have daily challenges. You got to play duels. So
oh,
I just jump
no. In. Just wait for the Yu-Gi-Oh Battle Pass.
They have them. but they cost in-game currency, and it's like 600, which you can get in like 2 hours.
That's horrible.
Not that bad. Well, it's because it just gives you extra points to make cards, and it gives you extra little tchotchkes. Nothing is like... content that's excluded from other things.
We're going to make
like
a Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Masters podcast. I got to play the game.
Dude, he's going to make a Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast.
You get podcast. Just to talk about the originals.
We'll talk about the shows, the games.
We'll talk about the originals, GX, and 5Ds.
Hey, man, I watched Arc V pretty good. I just refuse to watch Zexal, though. The guy runs around with no shoes on. And I'm like, why? Put shoes on.
Yeah. I remember seeing that character design. I was like, where's his shoes? I'm like, those are feet.
What is he doing? I'm like, everyone else wears shoes. I'm like, he just doesn't.
What's going on here?
It was weird. So,
you ready to talk about this?
Yeah, man. Book of Boba Fett, Chapters 3 and Chapter 4.
I am going to read the summary for Chapter 3 and the summary for Chapter 4 back to back.
Because they're very connected.
Feel free to intercut whenever you want.
I'll try.
And then I'm going to do my notes after. We can just riff off my notes.
For sure.
All right. Chapter 3, The Streets of Mos Espa. Fett is asked by, and by the way, these are taken from Wikipedia, so they're absolutely abysmal.
The Fett and the Furious.
Fett is asked by watermonger Lortha Peel to punish a gang of cyborgs.
Steven Root.
Who are stealing his water in Mos Espa. Peel claims that the citizens of Tatooine do not respect Fett yet. Yep, that's where the sentence ends. It just drops off right there, doesn't go any further. Upon seeing that the gang has no work, Fett employs the cyborgs as enforcers and demands that Peel reduces water prices.
For whatever reasons.
Because he's being a dick. He's overcharging for
no,
water.
No, I'm not talking about the water thing. I'm talking about, like, let's just hire these kids, because... I mean, he needs more muscle. He only has two big pigs, which are great, but they got beat up by fucking
everybody else. We'll talk about the kids. We will.
We'll talk about the Power Rangers. So
back in his back to tank, Fett recalls seeking the toll from the Pikes on behalf of the Tusken tribe, only to find the tribe destroyed by the Nikto gang on his return.
No.
So sad. His memories are interrupted when Fett is attacked by Black Chrysantin, and then Fett, Shand, and the guards and the cyborgs fight off and capture the Wookiee.
Santi.
The twins... Those of you who don't remember
the big
are
jobbers.
The big jobbers. The twins soon apologize for sending Chrysantin, claiming that Mayor Mokshaiz has promised Jabba's territory to another syndicate. The twins vow to leave Tatooine and gift a Rancor to Fett. Thank you. After releasing... Where was I? After releasing Chrysantin and resolving to train the Rancor. Fett goes to Mos Espa with Shand and the cyborgs to question
Mokshaiz. Oh, Danny Trejo's in it.
He is. We're going to talk about him, too, because they just glossed right the fuck over him here. They find the mayor is absent, but chase down his majordomo, who reveals that Mokshaiz is working with the Pikes. Later, the Pikes begin arriving in Mos Espa, and Fett decides to prepare for war. And that's episode 3.
The Vespas.
Yes. Chapter 4, The Gathering Storm. In the back to tank, again, Fett remembers trying to reclaim his Firespray 31-class ship. So that's what it is.
The Slave 1.
The Slave 1.
I'm sorry, Boba Fett's ship.
Yeah, Boba Fett's starship, for those of you who aren't up on the...
The uneducated.
On the meta. From Jabba's palace, which was protected by way too many guards. When he discovered Shan dying from a gut wound, Fett took her to a Mos Eisley mod parlor.
See Mandalorian Season 1.
Yeah, for real. Which we haven't talked about yet on this podcast.
Well, we will.
Where her life... We keep saying that. Where her life was saved in cybernetics. In return, Fett requested Shit chat. Shan's help to break into the palace, now ruled by Bib Fortuna. After fighting the guards and retrieving Fett's ship, Shan decided to stay with Fett. Because they're them boys.
It'd be cool if we got to see
Fett. Them boy and girl.
Bib Fortuna.
We do, very briefly, in the little, like, snap flash thing, when they're like, we're going to catch you up to Mando now.
Yeah, but that's not the same.
I was listening to it with my headphones on. I didn't realize it when I was watching the episode on TV. He goes, Boba! And then he's, like, excited to see him.
Oh, because he's trying to be, like, he's trying to play face.
Yeah, I would have just fucking killed him. Like, straight up.
Boba!
Yeah.
He had guards.
They
didn't do shit. He probably, I mean, they fennec.
Throw him down the stairs. Yeah. Big pig.
Not to pig pigs.
Alright, so after they get the Slave 1 back, because that's what we're calling it, because that's what it's called, they killed the biker gang that Fett believed to have massacred his Tusken tribe.
But it likely wasn't. Bum, 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 bum.
Yep.
Speculation. It's the Pikes.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, even Fennec, she says, she goes, yeah, a group of speeder bikers took out the Tuskens. She's like, yeah, okay, that seems highly unlikely.
Let's kill them anyway, though, because they do kind of suck.
Dude, they suck mad hard.
Yeah.
They were, like, awful.
They just beat people up.
Mm-hmm. They were, dude, straight up beating up moisture farmers for no reason.
What the fuck, dude? Luke was one of those.
Fuck those guys, man.
Luke was one of those.
They deserved to die, straight up. Before flying to the Sarlacc pit to retrieve his armor, because he doesn't remember.
No, he was passed out and, like, lack of oxygen. He was like, ugh. The sun. It's too much on my face.
Yeah, he totally forgot. I mean, I could buy that he forgot. That was a very intense moment in his life.
Mm-hmm.
The Sarlacc goes to attack the Slave 1. Literally tentacles coming out of a pit, pulling it down.
Yeah, and a little beak.
And Fennec hits Boba's buttons and drops a seismic charge in its mouth.
I love how Boba's, like, getting pulled in and he's like, fuck, I don't know what to do. This sucks. And then Fennec's, like, ninja-ing around and hitting buttons.
She's like, I'm going to hit the seismic. And we get to hear that amazing sound. That every time I hear that, it's like serotonin injected into my brain.
As they fly away, Boba Fett goes, "Don't touch my buttons." And I'm like, "Fuck those, man! You're gonna die!"
They're fucking getting away. Next time, don't touch my buttons. I'm like, dude, what is that?
What do you want?
Yeah, dude, she saved your ass. Oh, man. He climbs into the Sarlacc pit without any armor on, for those of you who, I guess, don't watch the show. He just
kind of crawls in.
Yeah, and then he comes back out, and he's covered in burning acid again. And Fennec's like, we need to get you into a Bacta tank.
And that's when they go back to tank fishing.
Yeah.
That's why we see him in the Bacta all the time.
We come back to the present, and Fett emerges from the Bacta tank fully healed, which indicates to us no more flashbacks.
Well, we'll probably get one or two.
Or seven.
Or a whole season.
After he's fully healed, he decides to go into the town to kind of show that he's not dead and that he's the boss. And he witnesses Chrysantin fighting Trandoshans in the sanctuary. He rips one's arm off, and then Boba follows him out and hires him.
Yep, for the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
She needs more muscle.
At a banquet in the Bomar Monastery / Boba's Palace. That's what I'm calling it now. It's going to be Boba's Palace. Yeah. He urges Mos Espa's other crime bosses to unite against the Pike Syndicate, but they refuse.
We met two of them in the first episode, and the dog guy didn't show up because he's a punk.
Yeah, he's a bitch.
He's definitely going to be a rat.
I'm totally calm.
He's a rat.
He's the
They
guy.
Focused on him too much, him being like a dickhead.
Yeah, plus when they're walking out, Boba and Fennec are like, do you think we could trust them? And he's like, I think that they're smart enough to know, right? But no one else is really talking as they're leaving. They're just kind of walking out. But two of the dog guys are like, we're acting sus.
We're going to talk to the Pikes.
We're going
to
talk about it.
Because we suck.
Yeah. He's one guy with a suit of armor and a Rancor. They're the fucking Pikes.
Oh, dude, the Rancor scare was nice.
That was solid. That was one of my favorite parts of the show. With the Rancor's presence, Fett convinces them to remain neutral while he fights the Syndicate alone. He convinces
them. Yeah, he's like, if you can't promise to be on one side, be neutral and I won't fight you.
Yes. And after taking stock and realizing how alone they really are, Fennec Shan suggests that they hire reinforcements for the imminent war, and we get to hear the Mandalorian theme song very briefly before it cuts into the Book of Boba's end theme. So, which... I'm going to go ahead and jump out on a limb here and say we're going to see Din in episode 5, which you've already seen. And I saw the title for the episode. It's like The Return of the Mandalorian or something. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. he's going to be in it. And I'm curious to see. I'm curious to see what they're going to do.
I'll say he's in it.
I'm curious to see.
I'll tell you he's in it.
I'm curious
sure.
to see it.
He's in it for how many minutes did I say the episode was?
51.
He's in it for a lot of that.
Okay.
A lot of those minutes are Mando minutes.
I don't want to speculate now because of what you've told me. I just want to talk about the notes I have for the episodes we talked about.
Your notes are usually
Chapter 3. I quoted the director who said in an interview it was going to be all killer and no filler. Episode 3 was pretty hard. Filler. And not very much killer.
Dude, technically episode 5 is filler. You'll see.
Yeah, but if it's cool, I don't care.
No, it's bad.
It just has to be good and cool and enjoyable, you know? Yeah. Episode 3, I want to preface this because I know a lot of people already know about the controversy surrounding episode 3. I don't hate this episode.
No.
I just think there are parts of it that really throw me off. And I didn't
slow
like
chase.
It that much.
The chase itself is whatever. The pacing of the chase is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so slow? They're driving speeders and like, I understand they got to weave in between cities and stuff, but just make it look better. Corellia was amazing.
It felt slow. Yeah. It feels really slow. It's like, show me a single straightaway where these guys are just booking it at full speed down the road. Let's start at the beginning. So along with the chief's gaffy stick, after Boba Fett finds all the Tuskens dead, he places the child Tuskens stick. They didn't get to make it into a gaffy yet, but it was their little stick. He throws that in the fire, signifying that the child was also killed.
But the warrior priestess might not be dead.
Warrior Tusken was nowhere to be seen. It was they was such a big part of Boba's training. I figured if they were dead, we would have focused in on them. Yeah. We didn't. I'm fully expecting this character to make an appearance.
Whether it be through flashback or just legit part of the muscle that he's going to hire. Yeah. Like, oh, I know this Tusken Raider. We got to go get her.
Dude, all it takes is this Tusken to hear that Boba Fett, because I feel like they'd know his name probably. He would have been I'm Boba Fett. And they're like, whatever, dude, you're Tusken
like,
now.
Whatever.
We don't give a shit.
Get out.
So this Tusken's probably hear that Boba Fett is now the daimyo of Mos Espa. Gonna show up. Bubba's gonna be like, it's you. But they're gonna show up all hot and sexy because
it's gotta be hot and sexy.
Yeah, no raps anymore. I don't know how that's going to work. I feel like if your Tusken tribe is destroyed and you have to figure out what to do next, you probably try your best to integrate in society because other Tusken tribes may not be accepting.
But, or you can do what the Mandalorians do and just hide in like a basement.
Yeah, but they're hanging out together.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, when the chief was like, yeah, some of us suck. It's like, yeah, it's probably hard to integrate into a different Tusken tribe because they probably all have like different things going on. Yeah. It's like the chief hierarchy might be different from tribe to tribe. So who knows? Maybe Boba's just going to call up all the Tuskens on Tatooine and be like, be my friends. And they're going to be like, why?
He'll
be like,
because
I know how to ride a bentha.
Who killed your friends? I stopped the spice train 5 years ago.
They'd be like, oh, that was you.
Like, oh, yeah, that was me.
That was me. But they sent like 8 more
after you
did that because they were pissed.
Yeah.
And he's just like, what? And they hang up.
Fuck you.
Because Tuskens have phones.
Anyone has a phone in Star Wars.
Yeah, man.
The disrespectful Power Rangers.
They're not disrespectful.
They are very disrespectful.
Not really. They help. Yeah. They help out the boys.
I'm talking about when they first meet him.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because they're like, "Fuck you, old man."
Yeah.
The dude with the eye guy is like, "Hey, old man, beat it. Ass is grass."
I don't want to spend overly too much time on these kids. I just want to point out the things I didn't enjoy about seeing them at first.
That's fair.
The fancy, colorful bikes on Tatooine. They didn't fit for me.
I know. It's part of a mod culture in old London. You know, we know. We've been educated.
Looked into it.
But
and for all you assholes, by the way, and that's what I'm going to call you guys, because you guys are actual assholes, who are attacking people saying they didn't like this on Twitter because they felt like it didn't fit, and you were like, look at Coruscant in the prequels. Coruscant is a space metropolis where literally everything is designed to look like shiny, new city, and then under that you have the dirty, grimy city. It's a city. Have you ever seen anything like these bikes or these people on Tatooine outside of the pod race?
And how did they get them there if they have no money?
That's my second question.
Besides using the water on,
these kids have these beautiful bikes. They probably cost a shit ton of credits to keep tuned up.
And they also get these modifications all the time.
They've also got these body mods.
Yeah.
But then Boba Fett rolls up and they're like, we have to steal water because we don't have any money because there's no work. I'm like, how did you afford these body mods? How did you afford these bikes? How are you affording to transport these bikes? How are you affording to keep these bikes in pristine condition on Tatooine, which is a planet covered in fucking sand?
Space gas.
Literally, you riding this stuff across the sands would have abrasion material. And I know we're getting really nitpicky, but when it comes to like story creation and elements that go into world building and stuff, it's got to line up. And I just felt like it didn't line up. However, episode 4, because a big complaint for me was show me other people or a shop or something with the mods or the bikes or something. Episode 4 was like, these mods come from a parlor.
They're done by Thundercat.
On the outskirts of Mos Eisley. Yeah. So you will not see things like this commonly in the towns and in the city. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all I needed. Yep. One line explaining away why this is not a common thing in anywhere else in either of the towns or on the planet. Yeah. It's like one shack. The bikes, still a little iffy.
I feel like we'll get them in better explanation with that later.
You know, because we only saw the mod guys, and even outside the mod shop, there was another dude with a bike. I'm like, here's another one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what are you guys doing to keep these bikes in good condition now? Very nitpicky, very bad Star Wars fan type thing to do, but this is like our thing to love, so if you're going to have elements in it, make them make sense, you know?
Like, that's all I ask. We had the speeders, the Majordomo speeder and Luke speeder.
They look like normal-ass Star Wars speeders.
Even the droids are dusty and beat up.
Dude, all these bikes needed to have was like a thin layer of dust, and maybe the bottom was like a little eroded away from sand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we live on Long Island, New York. Whenever it snows, the salt ruins the underside and the bottom of my truck.
Every car, not just
tires,
truck.
Everything. You know, so, and a planet covered with sand, excuse me for wanting a little bit more.
Even if you're hovering off the ground, you're pushing against
the
ground.
Yeah, coming up. It's coming up, yeah. Yeah. So,
you see the
speeder. Everybody else's speeder is all fucking, like, messed up from the sand.
Dingy.
How are you kids affording this? That's all I want to know.
Well, they steal the water.
Are you like us, where you spend all your money on toys?
They steal the water to clean the bikes. I understand that. But how do the upkeep is my big problem.
Yeah. I'm like, if you can't afford water, you can't afford these bikes.
You can't
That's
afford to fix these every time they get fucked up.
Yeah.
Steven Root should have just fucking like kicked the bikes over, like the biker style, where they're all stacked up. Just kick them over.
Dude, I would have even been more accepting if he was like, I run a shop in Mos Espa where I sell custom beautiful bikes, and these group of cyborgs came in and stole my bikes.
That would have made more sense.
It would have made more sense. But instead, he's a water salesman. Because they had to have Boba be like, lower your prices. Because if they stole the bikes from him, he'd be like, well, you stole his bikes. Like,
you're a fucking asshole.
You've got to give them back.
Come on.
Like, that's rude.
That's not cool.
We don't do that. I'm the crime boss. I steal stuff. You're the nobodies.
That's why he hires them, to give them work. Also, because they're looking for work and their cool body mods are tight. Yeah, plus, and he, like, owes a little bit to Sam.
The way they just called him an old man, I was a little caught off by him just not saying really anything about that.
Actually, I'm only 30.
It's like, dude, bring up some of your achievements or something, you know? Be like, have you ever heard of the War of the Bounty Hunters? That's what we called it when I carried Han Solo all the way from Bespin back here with every bounty hunter in the galaxy trying to kill me.
And the Crimson Dawn stole it away. Do you know
who you're talking to? You know, something. It's like, put some... Like, I get he wants to rule it respect, but make these people respect you, you know?
Well, he's doing that by buying their services and going, I'll show you
that. I can appreciate
it. Because I think they make a note of it. Jabba would have straight up just axed them all. Yeah, Steven Root goes, Jabba would have gotten rid of them for us. Well, Boba Fett's giving them an opportunity to change, and if not... Feed him the Rancors.
Yeah, and I'm cool with even giving them an opportunity. I just think he kind of took too much insult and didn't throw it back at them at all.
Well, they're making Boba Fett fun.
Do you remember what he did to what's her face with Bo-Katan when they called him a clone and said that he was like fucking basically like a test tube baby and he tried to like murder one of them? He's like, how fucking dare you? You know?
Yeah. Koska Reeves. He like throws her into a table. Because he's like,
that's the guy that I was expecting to kind of show up, be like, you watch your tongue, you have no fucking idea who you're talking to.
Oh my god.
It's real nice when you're standing there with your fancy bikes right now calling me old, but it won't be so nice when all your boys are tied up and you're a crispy piece of bacon. It's like, whoa.
Feed you to my Rancor.
Yeah, you know, it's a...
Oh, Danny Trejo, feed you to the Rancor.
You know, and I'm also, I've tossed this one a lot around in my head because Boba's not really like that when he's a kid either. He's obviously a victim of circumstance, so... Mm-hmm. The things they're doing with his character aren't necessarily off-brand. I think just
go back not and look up the
what I was expecting, you know. So, but overall, I've moved past this segment and these kids and their thing. They're integrated in now. They're part of his gang. Whatever. They're give here. They're here. I don't care anymore. You know, it's fine. It's okay.
I'll buy Eye-Guy's toy. Actually, I'll buy Thundercat's toy.
I'll buy Thundercat's toy.
He's tight.
He's got that cool robot arm. Yeah. That's pretty sick.
And he can interchange it with the claw thing. He's tight.
Hey, man.
I'll buy his toy.
Let's talk about the next thing in the episode that was absolutely terrible. The Black Chrysanthemum fight.
Oh, yeah. You hate this.
I
just thought it was cool to see him again.
I thought it was cool. Dude, I thought it was really cool to see him again. I thought it was cool to see him doing his thing. I'm going to, again, reference to something in episode 4. He sees some Trandoshans just sitting in the bar, having a good time.
He fucks them
up. He rolls up, beats the piss out of them. One of them breaks a glass over his head, and he rips the dude's arm off.
Well, they go
back. Went to Boba Fett while he was fucking sleeping, pulled him out of the back to tank,
punched him,
and just started tossing him around like a rag doll. I'm like, why would you not...
Plot armor.
Either, like, punch him in the face while he's in the Bacta and just smush him in. Because, for those of you who don't
know... We've looked it up.
Black Chrysanthemum's hands are filled with metal.
Yeah.
They are I think we might have talked about this in the last episode.
No, we did not. Okay. I mentioned it briefly.
At
but
work,
then we,
right?
No, we mentioned briefly on the podcast about Black Chrysanthemum because I knew a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then at work, me and you were talking about it last week because I was like, yeah, his hands are metal. And you're like, well, they definitely don't look metal. And I'm like, well, one artist draws the metal in the annual.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that he just drew it weird. They filled his hands with metal, so he has permanent brass knuckles, and then the knuckles on the edge are just an extra little punch.
Yeah.
So he's hitting you with robot hands that aren't just like... a robot hand that Anakin or Luke has. It's like adamantium Wolverine hands. He's hitting you with bricks.
He's got Wookiee muscles behind
that. The Wookiee strength.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I felt that Boba getting tossed around and Black Chrysanthemum like punching him in the face and squeezing him to... I thought this was all very trivial. I thought that he could have just killed him very easily if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
There is a thing. They worked together in the past. Maybe he wanted to respect him, look him in the eyes while he killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Still feel like he could have looked him in the eyes and snapped his spine in half in, like, a second. He didn't have to keep going. I mean, there's a solid, like, couple seconds where we're watching Tamora Morrison's toes curl up, and I'm like, this is weird.
And one of his toes goes really high.
I'm like, who's filming this? Tarantino? Like, what's going on here? And
Rodriguez is friends with Tarantino.
Worst part of the whole fight for me was when Chrysanthemum hits him in the face with the electrocuted brass knuckles, and Boba barely reacts. He, like, looks down like he got hit, then immediately tries to, like, go back to fighting.
But in the next episode,
I'm like, he should be fucking dead. I'm like,
Wookiee hand filled with metal, brass knuckle, spiky knuckle.
Electrified.
Electrified. You're dead. Doom. You're dead. You don't come back from that. But he did.
Because he's Boba Fett.
And then his cyborgs come in. Black Chrysanthemum's like outnumbered, so he runs away. And then back downstairs over the Rancor pit, they do manage to drop him into the pit.
And then Fennec throws a little knife in his hand.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't have gone in. It's filled with metal, but whatever.
Yeah, so we're not going to talk about
whatever.
I don't think it should have just teamed off. The show writers found that.
Robert Rodriguez didn't remember.
He was like, what? And again, another stupid thing. Before even confirming that Chrysanthemum is down, Boba Fett just comes down in his bathrobe.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, could you put on a wrist rocket or your helmet or...
pull out a gun.
Just bring a blaster downstairs, something, in case he's not... maybe that quiet you're hearing down there is all your fucking people dead.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not that the battle is over for you. You might come downstairs...
maybe a Wookiee killed all your kids. He's standing there,
and he's going to beat the piss out of you when you come downstairs in your bathrobe. But
just because you got Fennec doesn't mean Fennec didn't get knocked out and then the kids got ripped apart.
And of course, it was written this way. They wrote it plot so that armor. He won. You know, it is a plot armor thing, but come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got it pulled out by like a giant Sasquatch and then he runs away downstairs, is the first thing you're doing going to chase after him in a bathrobe?
No,
you're like, I'm ready for round two, baby. I'm putting
clothes on because worst case he escapes. Best case, I get a full suit of armor on.
Best part of the fight is when Chrysanthemum threw him at the back to tank and he like rolls on the floor. So these are my biggest issues. I'm not even going to talk about the speeder chase again. I'll talk about something that happens in the speeder chase because I think it was cool, but... these are my biggest issues. The kids are just way too disrespectful, and Boba doesn't do much of anything to kind of counter that, aside from being like, let them keep their water. You're a dick. It's like, oh, wow. He's siding with the kids. That's nice, but maybe he should like have a little bit of fucking badassery, but whatever. I'm going to drop that. The Black Chrysanthemum thing. I'm never going to let this go. This is going to ring in my head until the day I die, because it was just bad, because Han Solo said that a Wookiee can rip your fucking arms off if you make him mad, and Chrysanthemum beat the shit out of Chewbacca, so if Chewbacca's strong enough to rip your arms off, Chrysanthemum should be strong enough to rip Chewbacca's arms off.
Close to it, if not.
And the speeder chase was just slow. So Danny Trejo shows up. He's the Rancor Tamer.
Yeah, man, he's great.
He's really cool. I love seeing a Danny Trejo in Star Wars.
He's friends with Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they made Machete together.
Yeah.
Yeah, he directed the Machete movies, so that's why he was in there. Plus, also, there's a image of Danny Trejo in, like, a stormtrooper costume watching football in his living room. He's like, this is how I watch football. And he's just standing in a stormtrooper costume. So I think he's a big enough Star Wars fan to warrant him being in this.
Oh, for sure. As opposed to Bill Burr.
Yeah, we get the Rancor. He's going to imprint on Boba and be like his big dog.
You know what would have been sick? If it was fucking Moochie.
I said that. I wanted it to be Moochie so bad. I was hoping it was going to be Moochie.
Because Moochie would have grown into... but Moochie already saw their first human or something.
Moochie would also be 20-plus years old. He said that this Rancor was a calf, which leads me to believe that it's not like a baby, but it's kind of on the way.
But it's like so... it's so huge compared to the one we saw in the... Mochi's a... like a... like a fetus.
Well, if Moochie's like a baby, I'm going to... and like... I'm going to say Moochie was probably under like a year or two old. This Rancor is probably between like 5 and 6, I would say.
Okay.
And Jabba's Rancor, older than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just making up numbers.
Would have been cool.
Just trying to make it work.
And he goes, and this is Moochie. And dude, I would have been like, what?
I would have shit my pants if he dropped the Moochie.
But Boba Fett's Rancor was probably Moochie. Because, I'm sorry, Boba Fett. Bib Fortuna. Too many bees.
Well, as far as we know, Bib didn't even have a Rancor, because Boba gets there and there's no Rancor.
But who is the Rancor for in the Book of Boba Fett? I mean, in Bad Batch. Too many bees. So many fucking bees.
Well, gotta think, too, that was right after Revenge of the Sith. That's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's come the time of Book of Boba Fett, almost 30 years ago. Who knows?
Google it. Someone will know. Some nerd knows. How long do Rancors live?
It's probably out there in, like, an expanded thing. Boba says he wants to ride the Rancor and claims he's ridden bigger beasts, which is possibly and most likely a callback to the holiday special where he rode the Mythosaur. It was the first time we ever saw him, and Luke's like, we're looking for a ship, and Boba's like, get fucked, and he starts to attack him.
Leave.
Yeah. While he's petting the Rancor, I thought this was hilarious. His droid comes to get his attention, he snaps at him because he's busy and he doesn't want to stop petting his Rancor. He goes, not now, I'm busy.
I'm fucking hanging out with my doggy.
The speeder chase. The one thing I wanted to talk, or two things I want to talk about the speeder chase, the guy on the yellow bike crashes through a painting and he splits it in half. It's actually a Ralph McQuarrie concept for episode 6,
Some
and Luke is digitally removed from it.
Yeah.
Because they
Boba's in the painting.
They didn't want to put Luke in the painting.
Because it wouldn't have made sense.
Yeah.
Because all those people, like, died.
Yeah.
Right after.
Yep. And he, technically, Luke is a terrorist. He's a rebel. Rebels are terrorists.
Well, not until the New Republic
comes when the New Republic comes, they're heroes. But originally, they're terrorists.
Unless you're part of the Imperials.
Imperial Remnants.
Yeah.
Then, still call them terrorists.
Then they're terrorists.
People say Rancor's live up to 50 years.
Okay.
According to some media.
Hey, man. I feel like I'm on the ball then. I feel like I'm in the right zone. Close. I feel like I'm in there.
You're in the zone.
I feel like I could be. And the Major Domo, he crashes...
into the fruits from Rebels!
Yeah, he crashes into the Mailurans and ruins them. It's a Back to the Future 2 reference when Biff crashes his car into a fucking big stack of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, that's Back to the Future 1, I'm sorry. He crashes his car into shit, and it falls all up in his car, and his car's ruined. And it's also a Rebels reference because Mailurans.
Yeah, man, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait till they go to Lothal. That's a callback to our Rebels episodes.
I can wait.
What are we doing here? Every 3 seconds.
Oh, no, dude. Republic Rangers is getting turned into the Lothal show.
Is it?
I don't know.
Rangers of Lothal.
Low-key? Probably.
Oh, man.
All right. Episode 4. Let's get into the episode 4 notes.
Yeah, man. A lot of good stuff in this one.
Yeah, we get that long flashback, which is pretty much the first half of the show, showing what Boba's been doing since the downfall of the Tuskens. Gives us an idea how long he's with their ranks, which was about 5 years. And he's mainly been riding around the Dune Sea on his Bantha, scouting.
He's been looking for people to help them get his ship and his armor.
He's been trying to figure out how he's going to get in and steal the ship back so that he can go and start paying off his debt and fucking... Or not paying off his debt.
Realistically, he's only been doing that for about 2 years.
Probably, yeah.
He's probably spent about 3 years at the Tuskens altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he had to get comfortable roaming the desert by himself, too. So Boba finds Fennec Shand left for dead after seeing the flares shot in the sky during Battle of Din.
So cool.
And it does do the little Mandalorian whistle too during that time, which
is
sick.
It was Din and Tantu, I think is the kid's name.
I couldn't tell you his name.
I think it's Tantu.
He's so unimportant, it doesn't matter.
I want a Black Series figure of him just because it's like, why?
You remember when they killed Fennec, when he killed Fennec Shand, and then she died, and then he died almost immediately, and then Fennec Shand got to come back next season?
But he didn't.
He didn't.
Where did his body go?
Who cares? Probably.
Oh no, he died in Mos Eisley with Amy Sedaris, so that the droids probably ate him.
Yeah. Either that or they just threw him outside the city and one of those giant lizard things fucking bicepted him down into the sand.
Yeah, from episode one.
Like a big hug.
I can only imagine those things are problems.
I feel like it'd probably make it really easy to dispose of your dead on Tatooine, though. Just leave him out there for a bit.
If
something will come and
get
him.
Just comes to get him.
Yeah, something will happen. Whether it's big lizard dragon or big buff lizard. He takes her to the modders, and the modder who performs the work on her is a musician by the stage named Thundercat. I don't know his work, but he's famous.
Yeah.
And everybody and their mother was like, that's Thundercat!
He looked
recognizable. Like, and I'm going to keep it real. I thought he was from the comics. Yeah. I was like, is Thundercat a character from the comics? They're like, he's a musician.
I thought his name was Thundercat. I was like, they named a character Thundercat? I'm like, he doesn't even look like a Thundercat. Like, the other two characters, the girl, her name's Drash.
The girl with the robot arm?
Yep, her name's Drash.
That's a terrible name.
Yep.
That's like trash with a D.
Yep. Or it's Drask. Either way. I remember being Drash. I'll double check for you.
Very
and then the eye guy's name is Eye Guy right now.
Is that his name?
I think in the IMDb he's like mod, eye mod guy.
Oh, God. You gotta give these characters names.
Let me do a little check.
So Thundercat asks Boba if he's too old to be there, clearly indicating that body modding isn't exactly something common among the older crowds of Tatooine. Another little line that kind of says why you don't see a lot of other people modded up to look like cyborgs.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what are you fucking doing here, old guy? But another disrespectful douchebag.
This is what the Tusken warrior looks like under the mask, by the way. That's the stunt woman.
That's the armorer.
No, that's
Hilary Swank.
That's Hilary Swank. That's the armorer. Hilary Swank is the armorer. This could be the same body double. This is the stunt woman, but this is the stunt woman credited for
Hilary Swank. Tusk, not the armor.
Emily Swallow, I'm sorry. Emily Swallow. Emily Swallow, that's her name.
Yeah, okay.
Thundercat is the modifier, yeah. Yeah, her name is Drash, that's Sophie Thatcher. And, the eye guy's name is Skad. S-K-A-D.
Skad. What's up,
played
Skad?
By Jordan Bolger, who looks familiar. I'm going to see who he's from.
He does.
He is from Tom and Jerry. The new one that came out is from Peaky Blinders as well.
Peaky Blinders!
Oh, I'm Peaky Blinders!
My blinders are peaky!
He was in that show for a while. He played Isaiah. So he's the main character in that one. So that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Emily Swallow.
But he's the love interest for Chloe Grace Moretz in the Tom and Jerry movie from 2021. That's where I know him from.
That's bad.
He did pretty good, though. He was the most interesting character. So,
oh, we got an explanation as to why her stomach is just kind of all exposed underneath that thing she's got there. Because the modders were like, this is cool.
It's geared it up.
Look at it.
Well, yeah. Sick. That, the modding community loves looking at stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's like, this is gross.
Yeah, she's like, what the fuck? She immediately, like when she gets a clothes back, she's like, I'm covering this up. She's like,
fuck this.
Like, not happening with that. I loved it when Fennec was saying that Boba Fett is dead, and he kind of, he doesn't say it word for word, but he's more like, yeah, that's what I'm saying, but now I'm back.
But I'm back now.
Now I'm back.
Yeah, Boba Fett died in the Sarlacc pit, and I've been reborn, now I'm back.
Very, very small detail. Like, if you're not listening for it, you'll miss the shit out of it. When Fennec slices the bars to get into the palace... Mm-hmm. It's the same sound that plays when Dooku gets his head cut off.
That's fucked up.
It is pretty fucked
Another up. Small detail if you're not looking. When Boba Fett rides in his into town to talk to Phil Lamar, you see Amos Sedaris' character and her droids walking in the background.
Yeah. That was cool episode stuff. 3, right?
No, it was episode 4.
No, it wasn't. I just watched episode 4 today.
Oh, that was episode 3.
Yeah.
It happened, man. It happened. She was there.
She was there.
It wasn't Amos Sedaris because she was busy, but...
They were just like, here you go. You
know, that's her character.
Afro. Circus, Afro circus.
Afro and droids.
We get that cool chef droid spinning its blades, which is a Grievous reference and a half.
General Kenobi.
Dude, I literally was like, General Boba, when that happened.
Boba Fett.
The rat-catching droid turns itself off when Boba goes, I am Boba Fett. He's like, well, you're either going to kill me or you're not. I don't want to find out.
And that's one of those droids that is in one of the... Oh, man. He's in one of the Bounty Hunter episodes with Cad Bane. He's not the Seth Green one.
No, there's a lot of these guys, these little things walking
around. They're in Clone Wars.
He's actually walking around, I think, later in the episode when they flash back, when they flash forward to the modern day. So he clearly turned the droid back on. Yep. He was like, all right, fine.
You're mine now,
you're Bick.
You're alive. You're chilling.
Boba and Fennec get the Slave One from Bib Fortuna's possession after Fennec uses a small probe droid to map the guard's patrols.
And Bib Fortuna's the one who hired all the biker people.
Yeah. Or at least they work for him. We don't even know that. Yeah. As far as I honestly think that after species. Jabba, like, kind of bailed, the bikers
Jabba
were probably
bailed.
Like,
Jabba tied.
Well, yeah, he's bailed. He's gone. He's
fucking after his sail barge exploded with him on it after being choked.
Yeah,
yes.
He's out.
Max Rebo lived though.
Anybody that he probably hired, it was probably really hard to maintain relationships like that. They probably just started their own gang.
Dude, and someone on Twitter posted that. You know how Adult Swim has a robot chicken? And they did that thing where Max Rebo lives during the sail barge explosion. People are like, this is now somewhat canon because they confirmed it's Max Rebo and he was on that ship when it blew up. So He lived. Robot Chicken's canon.
Hey man, he got out. He did. I don't care.
Max Rebo's alive.
Dude, he was in the sand. He jumped down.
Return to the King.
He was like, ooh. And then when the Jawas came by and they ripped Boba's armor off, he was like, hey. And they were like, where are you headed? And he's like, let's go.
No.
That's how it happened. That's canon. Yeah, they destroyed the Nikto gang with the Slave One, and it's really sick watching his face. He's all pissed off, killing him.
Fuck you.
Then the events of Mando Season 2 play out. We get to see Bib Fortuna go Boba before he takes one right to the face.
And they drop the Sarlacc beam on him. We missed that. He takes the ship, blows up the thing, then goes.
We talked about it in the in the synopsis
it's
thing.
Just for prosperity.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it's posterity.
Whatever.
Prosperity is
whatever
that thing of us prospering. Like Boba wants to do with his criminal empire.
He wants to.
We'll see.
I hope he dies at the end of the show. It'd be hilarious.
Honestly, totally, totally feasible. And I've thought that it's probably going to happen several times because Din needs a new ship. Slave One, iconic as fuck. He's got a new ship, probably. All right, whatever. I'm not even going to speculate. I'm not even going to talk about
Stop
it.
Speculating.
I'm not even going to talk about it. I swear to God, if he shows up in another Razor Crest, I'm just going to fucking cry.
No, it's funny.
Following the flashback, he tells him he's fully recovered, so who knows if he'll even get more. Chrysanthemum rips off the Trandoshan's arms.
Funny story.
Boba has the Rancor that gets close to the floor at dinner with the leaders to inspire a level of fear, but mostly to have them respect his will, because he's like, I don't want to feed you guys to the Rancor. He's like, but I will. You know, it's like, that's the thing. Yeah. And then the Mando theme briefly plays at the end. And those are all the notes I had. Episode 4 was a lot easier to talk about because it was all things I really enjoyed. Episode 3, I just had to talk about the things I didn't like.
Altogether, the episodes weren't bad. No. Like, even 3 being the weakest one is still not a bad episode.
I think 4 helps 3 a lot.
Yeah, if you watch them all
back to back, it's like, this is great.
Yeah.
But watching the week to week, it's like, we just had a 30-minute episode where they drove for 15 minutes on little mopeds. Ooh.
I feel like they don't get as much of that when obviously they're watching it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, we can watch it back to back to back to back because we have all the episodes ready to go. We're just going to release them weekly.
Mm-hmm.
I think they kind of miss out on the idea that your fans are watching this weekly. There may be some things in these episodes that we just don't like because we're not getting the full picture.
It's one of the downsides, too. Like, I've talked about this on my other show before, with how Netflix releases their stuff and how Disney Plus does it. I think Disney Plus and HBO Max are doing great where they're releasing things weekly. It brings back viewership.
HBO Max fucking got it.
Watch Peacemaker. It brings back, brings people back to talk about. Like, remember when Stranger Things Season 2 dropped and it's like, this one weekend is Stranger Things weekend.
I never watched it.
And then when Mandalorian dropped for 8 weeks or 9 weeks, that show topped Twitter. Every week people were talking about that for show days.
Episodes that kind of suck.
Yeah, like the Frog Lady episode.
Yeah. The spiders. Or so, that one episode where they just did Seven Samurai.
Yeah, but that introduced Cara Dune.
So. Like, you liked it? Yeah, well, you could have done that a better way.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, there's a downside to that marketing thing where, you know, releasing everything weekly, yes, you're keeping the talks in. But when it's a show that's as tight as Book of Boba Fett and as condensed as what the story is, watching that weekly, like you said, we'll see episodes that don't make sense until they're released. So people will complain about it and be like, episode 3 sucks. What the fuck are they doing? And episode 4 fixes a little bit of the problems that we see.
Mm-hmm.
That's the downside of having the weekly releases, because we want to see the whole thing as a story, like a movie. And then we just have to wait weekly to watch it, and it ends up destroying some of the pacing.
I would genuinely love to sit down and have a conversation with Robert Rodriguez about what was going through his mind when he wrote that Black Chrysanthemum fight.
I don't think he did.
Well, I would love to have a discussion with whoever wrote that and was like, this is good. I want to be like, why do you think this was good?
Talk to Favreau.
And when they tell me why they're wrong, I'll tell them they're wrong.
Dude, Favreau keeps getting no credit for his stuff in The Mandalorian except for writing.
Yeah, well, that's what he did. He wrote the story. He's not directing any of it, though, is he?
He's executive producing and he's writing it.
Did he direct episode 5?
No, episode 5.
Bryce Dallas Howard, right?
Yeah. And she's amazing. That episode's amazing. Go watch it. Podcast over. Go watch it.
Okay, yeah, I'm gone. Yeah, so overall, 3 and 4. Oh, yeah. Helped it a lot.
Yeah.
Helped it a lot. I'm still on board with the show. I still like it. I'm just hoping that these last few episodes can really stick a landing.
I can't wait to rewatch them all with Court when we watch them almost all in a row. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing week to week, it'll be day to day. We'll watch 2 in a day or something like that, depending on where our schedule is.
Some of them are shorter, too, so you might even be
able to. So it'll be nice to just like finish the show once it's done.
I mean, you could watch the first 3 episodes and treat it like a movie.
Yep.
First 4. Don't leave it at 3.
The first 4 feel like a part of the show, and then episode 5, you'll see, is detached. And you'll be like, okay.
I'm excited.
It's a good midpoint.
I'm really excited.
It's a good midpoint.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Even though it's only 7 episodes, so there's 2 more left. They better be an hour and a half each, man.
Dude, I hope this last episode is at least over an hour.
It's gotta be.
It has to be.
I mean, this one, that's episode 5 is 51 minutes. Yeah. That's pretty good. That's the longest
we've had. We're gonna have one more episode, and from what you've told me, I have some speculation for what 6 is gonna be before I've even seen 5.
Yeah.
But if episode 6 goes the way I think it is, then episode 7 is gonna be just all out battle with a shit ton of bounty hunters.
Right?
This is where the killer better come in. That's all I'm gonna say, you know. We just haven't had a lot of bombastic moments. The train was cool. Boba beating the shit out of those dudes at Tashi Station was cool.
Chrysanthemum's fight with the Trandoshans was cool.
It was.
But
it wasn't even a fight. It was like a one-sided beatdown.
He just sees him gambling and he's like, fuck it. I took that personally.
He's like, those sons of bitches.
How fucking dare you? You can't have fun. You can't enjoy your life.
Trandoshans exist. Black Chrysanthemum. And I took that personally.
Yeah. Dude, that's facts, though.
All right. Any closing thoughts on this? Or are you good?
I hope Chrysanthemum kills somebody next time.
He's got it.
I hope he does a murder.
All right, thank you guys for listening. You can follow the podcast at Farthest Galaxy on Instagram to keep up to date with the episodes as they release and what we will be covering. You can follow me, Hunter, at Hunter_VanLierup, and Alex at the Dude Kenobi. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend.
Yeah. May the Force be with you.
Like a bintha.
Like a bintha.